And recording begins, and we're good. So, last time, we were talking about the issue of tashlumin, of making up davening if one misses davening due to providing medical care. And that was 2 weeks ago, because last week we had the special session on dementia. So, you know, memory may be a little bit fuzzy at this point, but, you know, we're gonna make do, and we're gonna manage. So, we had said that, you know, there are two different types of exemptions from davening. There is the exemption from davening which requires making it up afterwards. They're exempt right now, but they have an overall obligation. And then there's the person who is exempt entirely and has no issue of making it up. The example we gave was the onan, the person who had suffered a loss and is not able to daven. He's not supposed to daven. And the Taz took the position that one who is exempt because they're involved in communal needs is different from an onain. The onain is ready to daven, but halacha says, we don't want you doing so. One who is exempt because he's involved in something else is involved in something else, and that's keeping him from davening. So that's a different story. That was the Taz's position. The Magen Avraham disagreed, and the Magen Avraham said that the person who is exempt because of involvements in overriding needs is not required to do a makeup. And then the Prima Gadim said, well, you can see it both ways, and he said you should do a tefillas nedava, a voluntary tefillah, a voluntary prayer. The conclusion which we brought from the Nishmas Avram last time is that we say not to do a makeup. That was his position. Although we noted that if the obligation to daven actually began before whatever medical thing was going on, then there's definitely a duty to make it up. Yeah, they're still finishing up in there.
Should I do another?
No. I know that there are a lot of people who aren't making it tonight, so that's why I set up just this one table. We're good. So the last point that we made was that in the event that, let's say, you're taking care of a patient, but that only began at 1 in the afternoon, and it took you until the latest time for mincha was passed, but the earliest time for mincha was, let's say, 12 or 12:30, then you would have an obligation to make it up because you had a period of time when you were obligated and could have davened. So therefore, there is an obligation to make it up later. That was all, you know, just review of the last point that we had made before last week's dementia shiur. So now we wanted to talk about a very specific question which the Nishmas Avram raises, which is, what about for women who miss mincha? So in order to understand why this is a question at all, we need an understanding of the mitzvah of davening for women. What exactly is the woman's mitzvah of davening? So if you take a look on your sheet, I brought you source Aleph, and I'll put the link in the chat again for the source sheet. Source Aleph is Mishnah in Brachos in the third Perek. And it tells us, Nashim, as well as Avadim Uktanim, which is its own discussion, not for right now, but Nashim Peturin Mikriya Shema Umin HaTfilin. Women are exempt from Shema, they're exempt from Tfilin. Those are mitzvos that have specific times at which they are performed. They fit that class of mitzvos from which women are exempt. V'chayavin b'tfilah. They're obligated in tefillah, mezuzah, and birkas hamazon. So mezuzah and birkas hamazon are fascinating discussions that we are not going anywhere near. But they are obligated in tefillah. Tefillah, we generally assume, means shmona esrei. That's our assumption. And the Gemara goes into it and says it's rachmei, that it's an appeal to Hashem for mercy, and that applies for everybody, even though we have a set time for when we daven shmona esrei. So, how do we understand the application of this for women? Two different approaches. One approach from the Rambam, and the other approach from Ramban regarding not women per se, but overall what the mitzvah of davening is. So if you take a look at source Beis, the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, mitzvah aseh lehispalel b'chol yom. There's a mitzvah of davening every day. Shnemar v'avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem, because the Torah says, you shall serve Hashem your God. Now, serving Hashem can mean a lot of different things. That does not need to mean tefillah. It can mean bringing karbanos. It can mean doing mitzvos. It can mean lots of stuff. But mipi Hashmua lamdu sha'avoda zuhi tefillah. By tradition, we understand that this avoda is actually davening. Why? Shenemar, because the Torah says, ul avdo b'chol levavchem. It says you have to be oveid Hashem with your entire heart. Which I, left to my own devices, would have understood that means whenever you serve God, do it wholeheartedly. But the Medrash says, no. Amru chachamim, ezo hi avoda shebalev. What does it mean? It doesn't mean serve God wholeheartedly. It means serve God with your heart. How do you serve God with your heart? Zot tefillah. That's tefillah. So therefore, the Rambam believes that there is actually a biblical mitzvah of davening. And he says, v'ein minyan hatfilos min haTorah. The number of times you daven each day is not a biblical mitzvah. V'ein mishnah hatfilos hazos min haTorah. And the text of tefillah is also not from the Torah. V'ein letfilos man kavua min haTorah. And there is no fixed time to do it either. Ulafichach, and therefore he says, Nashim va'avadim chayavin b'tfila lefi shehi mitzvas asei shalo hazman grama. He says, therefore, there is no fixed time. So davening is not within those mitzvos that have a fixed time at all. It's not within that class, and women are obligated in it. That's the Rambam's statement. I'm going to say something completely parenthetically, but just because I feel like I have to say it as we're talking about mitzvah sasei hazman grama, there are different schools of thought as to how that exemption works. The way people often take it is that it's prescriptive. In the event that something is a time-bound commandment, women are exempt. Cause, effect, it has a set time, women are exempt. However, that's not the Rambam's philosophy. The Rambam believes that it's a description of a class that happens to fit, but it's not predictive. And that will explain why there are various time-bound mitzvahs that women certainly are obligated in. Even though we make this big deal out of mitzvah sasei hazman grama, there are various time-bound mitzvahs that women are obligated in that don't follow that rule. The Rambam says, because it's just meant to be, it's almost like a mnemonic. You know, it happens to fit, but it's not cause and effect. That's really a discussion for another time, but I just wanted to throw that out there. The Rambam says when it comes to davening, that it's not even a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. It's not at all. Elachiyuv mitzvah zu kahu. What is the obligation to daven? Shehe adam mischanein umispaleel b'chol yom. For a person to pray to God daily. Umagid shivcho shalakadosh baruch hu. And to praise Hashem. And then ask for his needs, and then to praise and thank Hashem. Right, the basic structure that we're familiar with in Shmoneh Esrei. So, the way that the Rambam frames this mitzvah of davening is that there is some kind of mitzvah of davening. We understand the Rambam to be saying, do this daily. Not three times a day, but simply do it daily, and it applies for men, and it applies for women. That's the Rambam's framework, which the Shulchan Aruch brings as well in Aruch Chaim Kuf Vav. On the other hand, you have the view of the Ramban. And the Ramban says that's not true. Ramban says tefillah is actually a derabanan. Other than in a time of crisis. If there is a crisis, that's a different story. What we call in Hebrew an ace tzara, then there is a biblical mitzvah of call out to Hashem in your ace tzara. And Ramban says it's really a function of emunah. It's a function of believing in God, believing that God is somebody who can, will work on your behalf when you're in trouble. It's almost not even a mitzvah of tefillah. It's a mitzvah of emunah, is the way the Ramban seems to frame it. But I brought you the Mishneh Berurah rather than the Ramban because the Mishneh Berurah expresses this in the context of the issue of davening for women. So take a look at source Gimel where the Mishneh Berurah brings you what the Ramban has to say. I think I actually printed spares. I forgot that I had brought them. Here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Mishneh Berurah writes, Das HaRamban, She'ikr mitzvah tefillah himi divrei sofrim. Ramban's view is that the main mitzvah of davening is Dirabbanan, Shem Anshe Knesset HaGedola, right? The great assembly from the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Shetiknu Yurches Brachos Al HaSeder Lihispalal Osan Shachris Umincha Chova Va'arvis Rishus. They created this Shmona Esrei to be davened, Shachris and Mincha as an obligation, Marav originally as a Rishus, because there's no parallel carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. And then we accepted it as obligatory, but that's male. Ve'afa pishu mitzvahs asei midivrei sofim shazman grama. And even though it's a rabbinic mitzvah with a set time, v'anashim peturos mikol mitzvahs asei shazman grama afilu midivrei sofim, and women are exempt from mitzvahs that have a set time, which includes rabbinic mitzvahs that have a set time, again, except for the ones that they are obligated in, fine. Kigon, for example, Kiddush Levana. I think that's what he came up with as his example. He's looking for a time-bound mitzvah that women are exempt from. He had to go hunting and find Kiddush Levana. The Ava Bichain, yeah. Ava Bichain, Chivu Osan Betfila Shachris Umincha Kimo Anoshim. Nonetheless, the rabbis obligated them in davening, Shachris and Mincha, like the men have, Kimo Anoshim, not like the Rambam said. Not like what the Rambam said. Rambam said the reason women are obligated is because it's not time-bound. Ramban says, no, it's the Gemara Brachos that I referenced for you before, which says, because it is an appeal for mercy from Hashem, and that's relevant for everybody. You can forget your rules about time-bound, not time-bound. It doesn't apply in this case.
According to Rambam, with your ISA, you'd only have to fulfill the four categories. We don't even have to fulfill the four categories that he enumerated.
When you say four categories, you mean Shevach, Bakasha? Yeah, correct. Absolutely true. Midah
O'Raisa. You don't have to use any formula of prayer.
Midah O'Raisa. Correct. I wouldn't want to be in that boat of fulfilling a mitzvah like that, Midah O'Raisa, and not Midah Rabbanon. You know, I wouldn't want to be in that boat. But yes, that is correct.
But even according to the Rambam, you would have to be concerned.
Did you get it right?
Right. Like, the reason we use the matbea of the chassidur is you can rely on, even maybe they may not have got it right, but we can rely on the chacham.
Right. So, the key part is really the last several words in Gimel. V'chein ikar ki chein das rov haposkin. The Mishnah Berurah says, we follow Ramban. Okay? Why does that matter so much? Because now it's telling me women have an obligation to daven shachras and mincha. Women do not have an obligation to daven Maariv. The Rambam will say, you don't have an obligation to daven any of those. You have to daven at some point, that's all. Don't call it Shachris Mincha Maariv, call it my daily tefillah. That's all it is. So, now let's see how this applies for us. If a woman follows the Rambam's view, right? If she's going to go with the Rambam's view, then you tell me she missed Mincha because she was taking care of patients. The answer is, so what? She daven Shachris. Right? Or she'll daven Maariv, whatever. She doesn't have any issue. She can daven one point during the day, and that's it. Beginning, middle, and end. There's nothing to talk about. The question is if you follow the Ramban. According to Ramban, she had a mitzvah of davening mincha. She missed davening mincha, taking the view that you do tashlumin, right? Even though the Nishmas Avram said, we generally paskin that you don't need to. But taking the view that you would do tashlumin, how is she going to make up mincha? When is she making up mincha? She's not obligated in Maariv. Does she daven one Maariv and that's her makeup for mincha? Does she daven a Maariv that she doesn't really have an obligation to daven and then daven a second one as a makeup for having missed mincha? Does she just say, forget it for Maariv and I'll daven two shachrises? Like what... That's the question. How do you deal with this
is
circumstance?
Is tashlumin the very next tefillah? Is tashlumin the very next tefillah you're chayav?
So that's what we need to know. Like what is this?
But
how does this work?
Not even just for women. What if I miss mincha? A man misses mincha.
Yeah.
Has a tour from Myra for whatever reason.
Yeah.
He was exempt because something happened. He became an omi. I don't know whatever reason. Now shakas.
Right.
Right.
It's a really interesting question. And you could see it happening, too. You could totally see it happening. You have a situation in which somebody has a sick relative who's, like, deathly ill. It's time for mincha, but he's busy with issues, whatever. The relative passes away during the afternoon. He is now an onin through the night. The kavura happens the next morning. And now the question is, what does he do a makeup? So what you're asking, even though it sounds funny, is actually like very reasonable as a case. And I don't know the answer. It's a good question. Let's see what the Nishmas Avram does here with this issue. It should be page 142, 143 of your PDF of the Nishmas Avram. You want where it starts with the word rofah. The overall section starts with velulei. No, velulei was on something else. Sorry. The overall section starts with the word rofah. It's on Orachaim Kufches, Sif Aleph. Sif Katan Aleph, I should say. Yes, that's it. You got it. Rofah o achos shalo hispalola. Okay? A female doctor or nurse who has not davened. What will be if you have a case like this where she didn't daven mincha because she was taking care of patients? Kosev ha-sefer halichos bas Yisrael b'shem agon or shlomo zalman or bach zatzal. So the halichos bas Yisrael, which is a popular sefer with various halachos that relate to women and mitzvahs, so he quotes shlomo zalman saying, if she forgot to daven mincha, or something happened such that she couldn't daven mincha, tov shetispalel, he's not dealing with a medical case per se, tov shetispalel arvis, umiyad lachar siyum tefila shmona esrei, tispalel osa shuv ba'avur mincha, k'din tefila tashlumin, she should daven mariv twice. V'hainu. Even if she's not someone who normally davens Maariv. This case, that's what you do. Umakor lekach b'divrei Mishneh Berurah, Reish Samach Gimel. It says Mem Dalid, but it's a mistake. It should say Mem Gimel. It's a typo. I don't know, actually, in yours. I have this third edition. I don't know if yours has. Yours has Mem Dalid. Yeah, so it should say Mem Gimel. She'isha shalo hispika lispala mincha be'erev Shabbos kodem alakas neros. He brings you from Hilchos Shabbos the following question that comes up in the Mishneh Berurah. What if it's time for mincha Friday afternoon, but she's getting up to candle lighting, and she knows if she davens mincha, she's going to miss lighting. So what does she do? So she lights, right? You need to make sure you have Nero Shabbos. So what do you do now? You missed mincha. So you can't light and then daven mincha. That's you declared Shabbos. You can't now declare Friday. So tispalo shmona esrei shel arvis pa'amayim. So she should say Maariv twice. That's what Mishneh Berurah says. Ubepshitas mikach she Mishneh Berurah lo chilek beinem ispalelas mincha va'arbis bikvius leinem ispalelas. And the simple read is that the Mishneh Berurah is not distinguishing between a woman who normally davens Maariv and does not daven Maariv, because he didn't say anything about that. Yesh lomot shuadin gam le'inyonenu. So he says the same thing would be true in our case as well. He then goes on to say something which may actually answer your question. He says, Nizkura Rakla Macharas, Shlos Bala Esmal Mincha. What if she only realized the next day? She missed the Maariv opportunity. She didn't realize she hadn't done mincha. She was exhausted from taking care of patients. She went to bed. She gets up the next morning and says, oh no, I didn't daven mincha yesterday. If she were a male, the answer would be, you're out of luck. You missed it. But for her, not necessarily. Let's see what he says. Asur Lispala Tashlumin Achar Shmonesei Shel Shachris. He says, no, you can't do it. So I spoke too quickly. He says, nope, you can't do a double shachris. Elam tirtze b'taraz nedava im chidush. What you can do is like what anybody can do, which is you do a voluntary shmona esrei with some kind of new thought or new idea. Va'av sha'arvis reshus legabeha, even though Maariv is optional for her, av apichein ein l'sha'ein shachris nikres tefillah hasmucha l'mincha shelefanah. There's your answer. Shachris is not called the tefillah that is adjacent to the missed davening, which was mincha. V'ainu afim ena regilas pal arvis, even if she doesn't normally daven maariv. So that's the answer. It does have to be the adjacent one. It's not the next one that they're obligated in.
If you're doing it in the davar, could you just do a yihu ratzon in refaino? Would that be a change?
I think so. I believe so. Yeah, I believe that's sufficient.
Do we know for a fact that Shlosh Avram holds like the Ramban?
Yes. If you want to keep on reading, I wasn't going to bring it, but he says, V'chol zeh l'shitas Ramban, aval ela ha-noah goes k'shitas Rambam.
Because that's what I was about to suggest, that if you follow the Rambam, then it's different.
Yeah. If you follow the Rambam, then there's no need for a tashlumin. All she had to do was daven at some point that day. Like, what's your tashlumin? And what's her tashlumin the next day? So now twice I say thank you, Hashem? Like, you know, what's the meaning of tashlumin? There's no concept of it.
The only concept is if you miss the whole 24 hours.
But even then, what do you say? There's nothing to say. Sorry?
I was noticing that it says rofa. It tells you that the female doctor, and then it says achot.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, you know, it doesn't give you a female because achot is.
Achot is the term we use
for
nurse.
So I'm wondering what the word is for a male nurse in Hebrew.
Ach.
It says here achot zachar.
Achot zachar, really?
Because yeah, is that brother? It's not
is that morphix? What is that?
Reversal context.
Okay. I don't know. All right. Good question. Okay. So all of that wraps up the tashlumin discussion. Okay, we're good on that. Everybody online with me?
No, it does say here is an option for male nurse.
Okay. So the next issue that I wanted to talk about, still within this discussion of davening versus medical treatment, is the issue of starting medical treatment before the time for davening begins. So there are times of year, depending on where you are, but there are times of year in which sunrise is relatively late. So sunrise here this morning is 7:08. Backtrack before that for the earliest time that you could actually daven, and you know, you could be talking about, depending on which shita you follow for the definition of dawn, you could be saying 6 a.m., you could say something along those lines. It's entirely possible for a doctor to be starting a surgery before that time. Like that can happen. In Toronto, sunrise gets extremely late. Sunrise gets almost to the point of being 8 o'clock, 7:50-something. So you can certainly have a situation in which a surgery is going to begin in the morning before the earliest time to daven. I'm not talking now about the issue of missing davening. Rather, the question of, are you allowed to start a medical treatment that's not pikuach nefesh before the time for davening begins? Meaning, normally the rule is, I'm not allowed, once the time for davening shows up, I'm not allowed to do other things that are going to take me from davening, right? The same way that tonight when we lit the menorah, right, we did not engage in other stuff once the time to light the menorah arrived. We don't do other things. Now it's the time to light the menorah. So too for davening. Once the time for davening arrives, I'm not supposed to engage in other activities. Not only that, though, there's a rule that before that time begins, there's a buffer zone to prevent a situation in which people get involved in other activities and then they carry over and they don't end up davening. So we need a couple of lines in Shulchan Aruch to introduce us to this. If you take a look at source Hey, this is in Shulchan Aruch Aruchayim Pei Tes. He's not talking now about medical care. He's talking about other activities. Asur lo lehisasek bitzrachav. One is not allowed to pursue his own business, his own needs. Olelech lederech, or go traveling. Ad shispalal tefilas yirches, until you daven shmona esrei. Parentheses. V'yesh mekilin la'achar sha'amu miktas brachos. Some are lenient if you said some brachos. Kodim sha'amu baruch sha'amar. You just haven't said baruch sha'amar yet. V'tov la'achmer bazeh. Better to be strict. So, theoretically, you could say, I did some davening. Hashem, I fulfilled the Rambam's version of things, and therefore now I can do something else. V'lo lecho v'lo lishtos, no eating or drinking, that's going to be our next topic. You can see it already below this on the sheet. Our next topic is going to be, what if you have somebody who is going to engage in treating patients and they want to eat something before they start the surgery, whether it's coffee, cake, whatever it is, are they allowed to do that when it's, again, the time when they really should be davening? But you know, let's deal with them one thing at a time. So the Shulchan Aruch says no eating or drinking once you are at the time for davening. Aval mayim mutar lishtos kodim tefillah. He says you're allowed to drink water before davening. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos v'yom tov. Whether weekday or Shabbos and Yom Tov. The reason why he's distinguishing is because Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have the Kiddush question, separate from the question of is it appropriate to eat before davening. V'chein ochlin u'mashkin l'refua mutar. And medicine is also allowed. So if a person needs to eat for medicinal reasons, they'd be allowed to do that before davening as well. That's the line here in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, he didn't give you a time. He just said, you're not allowed to do these things until you daven Shmona Esrei. But he didn't say, from when? What does that mean? So the Mishnah Berurah comments, I didn't bring it on the sheet, but the Mishnah Berurah in Peites Yud Zayin says that we mean here within half an hour before the earliest time for davening. Talking Shachris. We're going to talk Mincha later on, but that's right now we're talking about Shachris. So he says, once you hit half an hour before, and half an hour before, I believe, really is Shos Manios. It's not 30 minutes. It's taking the day and dividing up from sunrise to sunset into 12 units. Each one of those is an hour, so half of one of those units. So at some times during the year, in our area, half an hour will be 25 minutes, and in sometimes it'll be 35 minutes. It's going to really oscillate, through the year, through the calendar. But that's statement number one. Now, you might have said, okay, fine, that's personal things, right? That's eating or drinking. Maybe that doesn't apply to medical care because that's something I'm doing for somebody else. It's a mitzvah pursuit. But take a look at the next line in Shulchan Aruch, which I bring you from Hilchos Kriya Shema. Not Shmona Esrei now, but now we're talking Shema. And for Shema, which is a Deoraisa, Ein Motzi En Es Hameis Samoch LeKriya Shema. You're not allowed to start a funeral close to the time for Shema. When there isn't enough time to do the funeral before the time for Shema arrives. That's the rule. But if they started the funeral, then do the funeral. Don't stop in order to have everybody say Shema. On this...
This is for the onset of Shema Kriya, the end of
the onset. The onset of Zman Kriya Shema. The Bir Halacha makes the point as well. Actually, no, I'm sorry. The first part of it is the time for Shema. The second part, the part at the end, when he says you couldn't finish it in time for Zman Kriya Shema, that means the end time for Zman Kriya Shema. Yes, correct. The Bir Halacha says, so your limit is not, it's not about half an hour here. It's as long as you would not be able to finish the entire funeral in time to be able to say Shema. That's our concern. Now, there are nuances here as far as where the half hour applies, where it doesn't. Is Shema the same as Shmona Esrei, not the same as Shmona Esrei? I'm not going into that for the simple reason that none of this ends up being practical for a very interesting reason. Take a look at Sor Zion. This is the Gemara about the funeral. Tana Rabbanan, Braisa says, Ein motzienes hameis samoch l'kriya shema, v'mischilu ein mafsikin. Right? It sounds like what we've said. Don't bring out the body for burial close to Shema. If they started, you don't stop. And then the Gemara asks, Ini, is that so? V'ha Rabbi Yosef afkuhu samoch l'kriya shema. When Rabbi Yosef passed away, they brought him out for burial, and it was close to the time for Shema. Adam Chashuv Sha'ani. And their answer is, he was someone of status. Rabbi Yosef, he has the priority. We're not pushing off the Levaya of Rabbi Yosef. So now take a look in the Nishmas Avram, page 87 of the PDF. You see where I gave you the reference there. It's Arachayim Ayin Beis, where he says something very interesting. Ayin Beis Aleph, and what you want is at the end of Aleph, where it's the paragraph that starts Vilulei. You see that? Yeah. He says, Vilulei de Mistafina. He says, if I were not afraid to say the following, he's speaking now on his own, the Nishmas Avram is saying it. Hayisi Omer, I would say, Shebenido Didan, in a case like ours, Gam lefi a Mishnah Berurah yemutar lerofei lahascha baboker nituach sheyerach harbei sha'os. Then the Mishnah Berurah would permit a doctor to start surgery in the morning, even knowing it's going to take many hours. Ve'af al pi, even though shanituach yistayim rak achrei zman shel tefilas mincha, even though the surgery is only going to end after the time for mincha, so he knows he's going to miss out. Doesn't matter. The reason is because of what the Beis Yosef of Yosef Karo said. He says, according to what the Beis Yosef wrote, that today we don't have anybody like Rabbi Yosef in the Gemara who would override our concerns. But Rabbi Yosef Karo said, if there is somebody of that kind of standing, then we would indeed do the funeral for them, even though it's the time for Shema. I just put the link in the chat again for the source sheet. So he says, "Ve'efsher shalachole ha'over nituach kazeh yesh lo geder shel adam chashuv." He says it could be that you have a patient who is undergoing such a surgery that counts as adam chashuv, that counts as somebody important, such that you would override our concerns. Now, if it were just the nishmas, first of all, actually, take it. You have the footnotes in there?
Yeah.
So he has a footnote in my edition. In my edition, it's footnote 4 on the word Adam Chashuv. So he says, Ki hu cheftza shal mitzvas pikuach nefesh. He says, the reason why he is considered the Adam Chashuv is because this is a mitzvah of saving a life. That is the mitzvah. Now, really, if it's really about saving a life, then all of this goes out the window, right? We already made that statement in week 1. Saving a life is going to knock out all of these things. Nonetheless, he uses that formulation here. This is literally an object of a mitzvah, cheftza shel mitzvah, that you're able to save this person's life, and therefore it is warranted. And keep on reading. He says, "V'ka'es ra'isi v'beis halevi." You don't have the rest of the footnote, so it's only in my edition is the third edition. So he added something, which makes sense because he begins his comment by saying "Vika'es Ra'isi," and now I saw. He means literally now, after the second edition. So he says, "Now I saw in the Beis Halevi, the end of Parshas Truma, Shekosev Legabe Nesinas Tzedaka." He says regarding giving tzedaka, "Shehaani hu mamish kmo b'chinas esrog be'esh shenot lo latzeis bo." I'm not sure the Ani likes this metaphor. But he says, the pauper who you are giving tzedakah to is like the esrog you are allowed to use for a mitzvah. Yeah, it's a chavtashal mitzvah. It's like a mitzvah object. I don't think people like to be compared to a mitzvah object. I mean, if you had to be, I guess esrog is better than other objects you could have thought of. At least you didn't call them chametz on Erev Pesach.
It's a
chavtashal sedeida. So, yes, but not pikuach nefesh, correct.
But you wouldn't need pikuach nefesh.
But correct.
Just
I don't know why he said. I don't know why he said pikuach nefesh. No, that's what I'm saying.
You're talking about surgery. So Mamela, once you put the guy out,
then it's pikuach nefesh.
But that wasn't the case. But it was just like an elective surgery.
Right.
That's important to do, but it's not. He's not. He doesn't have a performance.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Because if it were life saving, we wouldn't be having any of this conversation. We would have said, "You do it, and do it now." Unless the answer really is.
Aren't most surgeries like that are not elective? Like you don't want to put them off in this day and age.
So
I don't mean like plastic surgery or I got a scratch. I could win, like something that you're not going to die if you don't do it tomorrow, but it has to be done.
So there is an in between. There is an in between. You have someone who's getting a hip replacement. So, they do need it to be able to function. But if they're due for their hip replacement and it's scheduled for 6 a.m., and then, you have a gunshot victim who comes in, they're going to push off the hip surgery, And then something else comes up that's more pressing than the gunshot victim, and they're going to push him off. Like, my point is only to say that it isn't a binary thing. Like, either it's optional or it's life and death. I'm not sure. My point isn't any of that. My point is simply to say that his argument is that the patient in front of you, you are engaged in a mitzvah for this patient. You're always engaged in a mitzvah at a levaya that he talked about, and it's special status.
But you're not yet engaged.
Well,
you're going to become engaged. You
correct.
You start the operation. We're discussing, can I begin?
Correct.
And by the way, same surgery, in the winter, it's a problem. In the summer, you have to go to my familiar, it's less of a problem.
Correct. That's true.
I think he's he's backtracking on the issue of pikuach nefesh. He realized pikuach nefesh in the second edition or the first edition, he puts down the word pikuach.
No, he's got it in both. He's got it in all the editions. He has the pikuach nefesh comment in all editions.
Once he closed the Beis Halevi, he's saying there's a chefsa before you for your mitzvah. A doctor has a chefsa before him. Without that chefsa, he's not a doctor on this patient.
So here's my problem with that, and this is what's bothering me in general on this. his case that he's starting from is the case of a levaya, right? It's a funeral. It's always chepta shel mitzvah. It's always chepta shel mitzvah. And yet in the Gemara, they distinguished between normal funerals and Rav Yosef's funeral. So that's where I'm getting hung up. I feel like he has to mean pikuach nefesh davka. And maybe the answer is, as Rabbi Hochbaum said, that it's because once you start the surgery, it's going to be life and death until you close him up. Maybe that's what he's doing here. I'm not so sure, but I didn't get to read the last line in the Nishmas Avram. He says, "V'hiskim iti mori v'rabi agon Rav Yeshua Neuvert." He says Rav Neuvert agreed with him that the surgery will be justified, even though you're starting it at a time when you're right before the time for davening. That's, you know, that matters. If it was just his own comment, I would have said, okay, so it's always, I mean, he's great, he's phenomenal in his knowledge, but I would have said, that's not definitive. Once Rav Neuvert says yes, now it's a psak. So that's, that's why I don't want to spend a lot of time on half an hour, this mitzvah, that mitzvah, whatever, because Rav Neuvert is now telling me, you have a patient who's waiting for a surgery, at least if you're talking about a pikuach nefesh surgery, not sure how to take it if it's not. He's justified in starting this surgery, knowing that he's now not going to be able to daven later. That's the idea.
I'd like to add that the vast majority of surgeons don't have the prerogative to decide they're going to take this OR time or they're not going to take this OR time.
Right.
Then I'm going to start it, but not until after Mishnah. It's just
you're not necessarily in control of your schedule. Yeah. Understood. Understood. Okay. So that's just wrapping up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Where is the pikuach nefesh element in Rav Yosef in the Kluwer case?
There isn't.
Like, you're trying to compare the cases you're making it on the Chasha, making a Chasha mitzvah, somehow a mitzvah pikuach nefesh is greater than Stam mitzvah of Rafua.
Well, it is.
That's it. But there's no pikuach nefesh, the guy's already passed away.
Yeah.
You know, there's you're not worried about missing mincha if you want to get him buried before Shkia.
Yeah.
So you say, well, son, so you. But this second component is missing.
Right. But what he's telling you in the Gemara is telling you, is that there are cases of overriding value. In other words, our concern is this. You're starting a mitzvah now before the time for davening, which is going to extend through the time of davening so that you won't be able to daven, right? That's going to be the result. Normally, we would say, don't put yourself in the category of an exemption from davening. Wait for the time to daven, then go do the mitzvah. But really, what are you doing wrong by starting this before the time for davening? Nothing. You're just putting yourself in a category like that. And what we're saying is, that's a very fuzzy problem. So for a Rav Yosef, we're going to overlook your fuzzy problem and say, put yourself in that position where you're not eligible to daven. We're effectively the issues are canceling each other out. The fuzzy issue of you put yourself in a position where once the time to daven starts, you will no longer be eligible to do so, versus the fuzzy issue of Rav Yosef being a special person. So what we're doing here is saying, let's substitute for Rav Yosef being a special person another fuzzy issue, which is the status of the patient who's waiting for surgery. That's effectively what we're doing.
But he's actually making them equivalent. He's saying the person, it's not that this is a mitzvah and that's an anav kasha. He says, because he's a chepta shel mitzvah, he is an anav kasha.
Right.
He is Rav Yosef in essence.
Right. My problem with it, though, is that all funerals involve a chepta shel mitzvah. Right?
If you found them on the street, will that be the topic?
Yeah. Like, we consider funerals pretty important. They rank pretty high on the scale of mitzvahs. So, it wasn't enough in the Gemara's case. So why is this patient who's sitting, you know, unless it's really, he's saying pikuach nefesh. But if he's saying pikuach nefesh, then all bets are off. Unless the answer is, it's a pikuach nefesh that could wait. Which is what? No, well, that was really what you were asking. It's a pikuach nefesh that could wait. In other words, but it is. That's not true. That's not true. Meaning, pikuach nefesh is pikuach nefesh, whether it is something that you know, is the last moment possible to save this person's life, or 10 hours before that?
Or you can say, what I was indicating before, that it's going to be because I was using it only 2 hours. Am I allowed to start now? It's not your time to die. So I'm allowed to start.
Right.
Right. Because at the time that the shayla of, oh, what's happening to Mincha, it's all, at that point, it is in fact.
Right. Just, is this audible to people online, or are you just not able to hear half of us? Sorry? You're good. You're hearing fine. Okay, thank you. So, I don't think that that's the case, because I think he would have had to say that. I don't think that works. I think the answer really is the value. It is a pikuach nefesh surgery. It just doesn't need to be done at this very minute, and therefore there was a possibility that you might have said daven first. But we're saying don't, because this is pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is not always immediate. One of the issues in my Stern class that we've been wrestling with is the question of, you have somebody on Shabbos who needs something that is a life and death thing, but they don't need it right now. You have somebody who has who got injured on a piece of metal, right? We're concerned about tetanus. It isn't rusty, it isn't whatever. We're concerned about tetanus. So do we say, on Shabbos, make sure that you treat them? Or do we say, you know what? Wait a few hours, Shabbos will be over, and then you do it. I think it's clear that giving the person a tetanus booster is a pikuach nefesh act. The question is, does it have to be this minute? Can it wait a little bit? Ask the doctor, don't ask me. But that's not, you know what I'm saying? That's the issue. Okay.
Possible that Yosef is a sefer Torah, and is he giving the same cover to a sefer Torah?
That quite possibly is what it means when it says Adam Chashev Sha'ani. It's entirely possible that that's what it means. Yeah. Okay. So, I wanted to talk somewhat about the issue of eating before the time for davening. Right. We already touched on it. We introduced the topic, but now we really need to discuss it. So we need a lot of background before we can get to the Nishmas Avram. This is all going to be just discussion of background sources, you know, for the next 15 minutes or so. And the next time we'll be able to see it on the medical front. So as a general principle, the rule is we don't eat before we daven. There are different situations where there are different reasons for not doing so. I'm not discussing right now Shabbos and Yom Tov Kiddush issues. When we get to Shabbos discussions, God willing, we'll have to talk about what a medical professional on call does for Kiddush. You know, what do you do if you're working in the hospital and it's now time for Kiddush? But right now, we're just dealing with it from the davening perspective. So first, let's talk about Shachris, and then let's talk about Mincha. You have to start with the Gemara in source test. Brachos Yudam and Beis. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, said, quoting Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, "My dichsiv." What does it mean in Parshas Kedoshim? The Torah says, "Lo sochalu al hadam." If I had to translate that literally, I would translate that as, "Do not eat on or beside the blood." In context, that text seems to be talking about an issue of idolatry. That there were all sorts of rituals that people performed, and they'd have a bowl of blood, and they would eat a meal, and, you know, like, it was all part of some kind of pagan practice. Don't start, you're being recorded. Pesach is coming. So the Gemara says that even though, in context, in the Torah, that pasuk is talking about some kind of pagan, idolatrous type of a practice, nonetheless, it also teaches me, lo sochlu kodem shetispalalu al dimchem. Do not eat until you daven for your blood. Meaning, you daven in the morning to Hashem, please help me. Don't eat before you do that. Your first stop should be talk to God, and then your second stop is have breakfast. Next line. Amrab Yitzchak, Amrab Yoch. Yes. Sorry? No. Amrab Yitzchak, Amrab Yochanan, Amrab Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Another statement, Rabbi Yitzchak, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, quoting Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, quoting Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who was the author of the previous statement as well. If somebody eats and drinks, and then after that they daven, all of Akasiv Omer, regarding that, the text says, Va'osi hishlachta acharei gevecha. Literally, this pasuk means, Hashem is saying, you threw me after your body, after your person. You put me second to your own needs. The text is talking about a message Hashem sent to Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat, you will recall, is the generation after Shlomo HaMelech. He's alive during Shlomo's time. But after Shlomo dies, his kingdom goes to his son Rechavam. Rechavam does not do a good job. And Yeravam is empowered by God to tear away 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, what ends up becoming the northern kingdom. He leads them. Hashem has given him license to do it. Hashem says, I've empowered you to do it, but be good. Yeravam is not good. And so Hashem sends a message to him saying, you know, all you had to do was be good, and you would have been fine. But instead, you put yourself before me. Osi hishlachta acharei gevecha. You threw me after your needs. And then the Gemara says, al tikri gevecha ela geecha. Don't read it as gevecha, after your physical person, but geecha, your arrogance. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, after he is so arrogant, now he's going to accept the monarchy of heaven. How in the world could you eat and then after that daven? It's arrogant. You say, oh, I think I'm going to have a donut, and then I'll get around to talking to God. That's not right. Talk to God first, have your donut later. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara brings me two psukim, two verses, to indicate that one should not eat before they daven. It is brought as halacha in the Rambam, Mishnah Torah, Hechas Tefillah, Vav, Dalet. I didn't bring it on the sheet. However, the second pasuk is important. If I only had the first pasuk is very straight, right? Don't eat until you have asked God for your blood. It's very straight, very straightforward. The second one says, don't be arrogant, right? It's about arrogance, which leaves open the possibility that sometimes eating before davening is not an act of arrogance. Take a look at the Rush in Source Yud. He quotes the Avi Ezri, early Ashkenaz, Kazav demuter lishtos mayim baboger kodem tefila. He said you're allowed to drink water before you daven in the morning. Lo shayach b'mayim gaiva, because there's no arrogance in drinking water. Arrogance is you're relaxed, you're comfortable, you want to enjoy yourself. That's not what's happening when people are drinking water. People drink water because they don't want to dehydrate. People drink water because they can't talk and they need to get their throat working. That's not an arrogant thing. So that gives permission for drinking water before davening. That leads to a question which we will, God willing, come back to next week. What about water-based drinks like coffee, like a sweetened drink? So we'll have to talk about, you know, things like that. Are those okay? Are those in the same category or not?
So would be like water.
So we have to talk about all these, you know, all of these cases. That's one exception. The other exception is brought in the Rambam in Source Yud Aleph. Hatsamei v'hara'ev. Somebody who is thirsty, somebody who's hungry, harein bichlal cholim, they count as ill. Im yesh bo yecholas lechavin es daito yispalel, v'im lav al yispalel ad shiyocha v'yishta. If they have the ability to concentrate, despite the fact that they're hungry, so they should daven. But if they're so hungry that they're not able to focus, then they should eat something first, right? And that's why you see people who have the practice on a Shabbos morning to eat something before they come to shul. Whether they're right or wrong, I'm not weighing in on, but it's based on this idea, based on this thought of, I'm not able to concentrate, I need something in me before I'm going to sit in shul for 2 hours, or whatever it may be.
You're being recorded.
Yes. So that's the statement, is that somebody who is ill, somebody who is hungry or thirsty to the point that they can't concentrate, that person is able to eat before they daven. This is brought in the Shulchan Aruch in Source Yud Beis.
So he can only eat as much as he feels that he's taken care of his medical problem of hunger.
Correct.
You can't just take a huge Danish and finish it off before Shabbos. You can just eat a half a Danish. Maybe.
So the question is, right, what do you need? What do you really need? This is also in the Shulchan Aruch, which I brought you in Yud Beis, although really it doesn't add anything. I'm not sure why I brought it. It doesn't actually add. You can see it. It's just a straight line. I'm not sure what I was thinking when I brought it. Oh, I know what I was thinking. Oh, yeah. You know what? That's it. Yeah, no, that is it. Right, that's why I brought it. Thank you. So take a look. It says in Yud Beis, Hatzameh v'haraev, someone who's thirsty, someone who's hungry, haraev b'chlal ha'cholim, they count as ill. Im yesh bo yecholes l'chavei daito yispalel, if he can concentrate, he should daven. V'im lav, and if not, im ratza al yispalel ad sheyochal v'yishteh. If he wants, he shouldn't eat or drink, he shouldn't daven until he has had something to eat or drink. Right, thank you. So, what is this im ratza, if he wants? So the Magen Avraham, in source Yud Gimel, answers. He says, Im Ratza, Zel Lashon HaBeis Yosef. He says, that's the language of the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo. Kevan Deha Idna Belav Hachi Ein Mechavnim Kol Kach. Since nowadays, people don't have such kavana when they daven anyway. Yeah, you think you're really worse off because you didn't eat something. Mutter Lispalel, Ach Bishenu Yechol HaChavet. He can daven even if his kavana is not so great, even if his concentration is not so great. But if you want, you can rely on the Rambam. That's what he says. And then he references for you the Shulchan Aruch Tzadiches Beis, which is why I brought you in Yud Daled. This is where you find out in the Shulchan Aruch that people don't have such great concentration when they daven. He says, Lo yispala b'makum sheish davar shemavatel kavanaso. You're not supposed to daven in a place where there is something that distracts you. V'lo b'shah hamavatel as kavanaso. And not at a time that distracts your kavana either. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes, "V'achshav ein anu nizharin b'chol zeh." He says, "Now we're not so careful with this." V'bnei she'ein anu mechavnim kol kach b'tefila, because we don't have such great kavana, such great concentration in the first place. I know people laugh when they read this. I want to cry. Oh, please. Not with these teams. Get a real team, and then there's a conversation to be had.
I've had people during davening go, what would that mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that.
Wow. Well, then you become the distraction.
I'm distracting other people.
Then you become the distraction for others. Right. Exactly. That's a whole other problem. But yeah, that's what the that's his business of imratza. What I wanted to bring you in the Shulchan Aruch was also the previous line in the Shulchan Aruch where he brings the water exception as well. I forgot, and I only brought you the second half of it, the part where he talks about the person who's hungry. But yeah, no, I did want to show you this business of imratza, if the person wants to, and there does seem to be an element of discretion involved where a person can say, you know what, I'm going to daven anyway. And if my kavanah is not so great, so it'll be like yesterday.
And is the rabbi suggesting that you don't have discretion?
Yeah. Maybe.
Eat something, you don't have a choice.
Yeah, maybe. Could be.
It seems not to make it up.
I mean, lack of kavana is not new. The Yerushalmi, there's a famous Yerushalmi in Brachos. I shouldn't use the word famous. There's a well-known Yerushalmi in Brachos where you have these chachamim who say, you know, when I daven Shmona Esrei, I'm really glad that my head knows to bow when I get to Modim, because otherwise I would just, like, forget. Another one says, I count the bricks in the wall in front of me. You know, it's... The problem of concentration is not a new problem. The Rambam was aware of it and said what he said. The Shulchan Aruch was aware of it and said what he said, and they said different things. So yeah, I hear that.
But was it better to interrupt if you're in the middle and you're like, I have to interrupt so I can eat something because I can't continue?
So it really depends on how bad it is. But also where you are. When you say in the middle, where is the person? Are they in Pesukah d'Zimra? Are they after Baruch Hu? A lot depends on what they're up to. Generally speaking, you know, we would say Ezu Chacham Haroas Hanolad, right? If you're wise, you know in advance, and you say, "Oh, today I'm hypoglycemic. I need to make sure that I get something into me before I daven." And then you also have to use chachma about what it is that you're going to get into you. There's a difference between having the whole donut, right? And saying, you know, I'll take a drink of apple juice, right? There are different levels to this.
Well, doesn't it make an apamino, which is accurate?
Yeah.
If it's a function of gaiva to then add the apple juice, not the donut, if you're hypoglycemic. If it's a function of mosavo adam, so
anything you eat is a violation.
Right, and once you permit it,
right. But the Gemara brought us both, and we view both as definitive. So the concern for make it less arrogant is relevant. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're not going to start on the mincha discussion now because we only have a couple of minutes. So just to make sure we understand what we got through today, number one, it would seem that the woman who missed mincha because she was taking care of patients does Marav twice, if she's going to do makeup at all, because we said, in general, making up davening is not required according to the way the Nishmas Avram resolved it. I guess the Prima Gadim, with his view of the having the Nadava, doing the voluntary one is still relevant, because we'll say, well, should I do a voluntary one or should I not do a voluntary one? So yes, the answer is, Miss Mincha, you would do Marav twice. Starting medical treatment before the time of davening begins, the Nishmas Avram believes is justified because we view the patient who needs the surgery, at least in a case that is life-saving, to be like Rav Yosef, whose levaya, whose funeral is justified, even though it's going to cause people to miss the time for Shema. And then finally, we started on the topic of eating on shift before the time for davening by noting the issues of eating before Shacharis. What we still need to do is discuss eating before Mincha, and then start talking about, you know, how this relates to the medical professional.
Okay. What about eating before the time of davening?
So that's part of this discussion also. We'll see. We're going to get to that. Okay? Thank you very much, everybody. Chanukah Sameach.